Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today we're talking about new ways of working, co-working it's called, a part of the new sharing economy. If you don't know what the sharing economy is, think community gardens, an old and popular idea in Anchorage where gardeners rent a plot to cultivate for a summer season. Or here's another example. How about the guy on your block with a snowblower who lets everybody borrow it to clear their driveway after a big snow dump when we used to have them? Maybe the neighbors chip in and buy the gas. These are examples of having access to something without actually owning it. So how does that translate over to the world of work? Co-working environments are places where freelancers and independents can share an office, coffee, amenities, networking, and even a sense of community in a space they don't own. Is this new? Haven't we had short-term commercial space available for decades? Or is this a twist on an old idea, something completely fresh? We're going to find out today from our guests. So from the boardroom, a new downtown co-working space, we have Catherine Jernstrom. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Great. And we have Britt Shimoniak. Hi, Britt.
Hi, Kathleen.
Welcome to you both here. And taking kind of a longer view, not a brand new business, we've invited Mike Thomas to join us from Pacific Office Center. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kathleen.
And I understand you've been an operations manager there for 18 years.
18 years, yes.
Yeah. So it really... We got here because I was excited about entrepreneurs, and I had read about the boardroom, and I thought, let's have these guys on and figure out who that audience is. So I posted on Alaska Public a little promo for the show, and almost immediately I started to hear from commercial office space folks who said, this isn't a new idea. You know, we've been here since XXX. And so I thought, why don't we, I bet if it's confusing for me, it's probably confusing for the audience, and it's a great opportunity to hear and debate and talk about what the differences are between co-working and traditional commercial space that people use for short term. So what I'd love to do is I'm going to throw out our phone number in case folks have questions. And, you know, if you're a freelancer or you are a solo practice attorney or a graphic artist, this might be a show that you want to listen to, it, especially if you're lonely and tired of working at your kitchen table, but maybe don't know how you could possibly actually get into an office. Could you ever afford it? So if you've got questions about that, we want to hear from you. We're at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 around the state. Or you can always send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And just before we get started, I just want to let you know we have lots of links on alaskapublic.org, including to these businesses that we're talking about here today, to some resources about co-working and the sharing economy, and just lots of stuff. So if you find yourself intrigued, just go to alaskapublic.org and you can find some really interesting stuff to read about it. So let's run around the room and introduce ourselves. I'm going to start with Mike. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike.
Oh, all right. I am lifelong Alaskan resident. I'm born and raised here, educated down south, but have returned like most of, it seems like everybody else I graduated with. I started with Carr Gottstein 18 years ago, just as an assistant manager for Pacific Office Center, which was the second, what we called executive suites back then, mm-hmm. and have just developed from that. And now I do that as well as do commercial leasing for Carr Gottstein as well.
Mm-hmm. And so I heard from Mike, and I also heard from a woman named Sharon Kelly, who also was saying, but wait a minute, you know.
Yeah. So and Sharon was really the pioneer. She introduced this concept to Alaska, gosh, I think it was in 1992. And we just sort of started what I'll call the next evolution of this concept and added the technology aspect to it and really bundled everything versus just
a phone.
Yeah, back in the day, it was copper phones and modems. So.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Wow. So now on the more contemporary side, we have two guests from the boardroom, and I want to hear a little bit about your backgrounds. Britt, why don't we start with you? Just tell us, are you born in Alaska? What's your story?
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised in Sitka and then moved up to Anchorage about 10 years ago to go to school. And so I was educated at the University of Alaska Anchorage, received my degree in sociology there. Worked in policy research for a while, definitely had a lot of interest in leadership and helping to grow young leaders in Alaska. And as I started to get more involved in that, I met Catherine through a program called Leadership Anchorage. And we started talking and shared a lot of those same values and wanted to create a space where young people could set down their roots. It was important to us to grow a community that people could live, work, and play in. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to support entrepreneurs because they're the most innovative thinkers oftentimes. And so that was kind of a lot of our inspiration for the boardroom and why we made a jump into entrepreneurship ourselves.
Yeah. And let's hear from Catherine a little bit. What's your background, Catherine?
Yeah, hi. I am from the Seattle area. I moved up here about 5 years ago. My husband's from Anchorage, and we met down at University of Washington. And I've been in the nonprofit sector for about 10 years. And the past year, I've spent a bit of time developing feasibility studies and business plans for social enterprise for nonprofits. And that's kind of what got me thinking about how the boardroom could be a benefit to the community and what we could do. I'm wrapping up my master's in public administration at UAA. And so that keeps me busy in the evenings as well.
Wow, that's great. So really, I went and did my homework on Wikipedia like I always do and try to figure out what is co-working and when did it get started. And I invite you to chime in, but just to throw out a little bit of history there. It goes back to 1999 when a game designer named Bernie DeKoven actually came up with the idea of co-working. Not really, he looks really creative when you go, he just looks like a guy that invents stuff wherever he goes. But anyway, we didn't really have physical spaces until about 2005. And I think you were telling me San Francisco was kind of a hot spot in the beginning and probably still is. So it's really relatively recent. And of course that begs the question of, well, what about these commercial spaces that are calling and saying, but we're doing the same thing. And so I kind of want to open the discussion here and talk about what's different between, short-term use of some commercial space versus the boardroom, mm-hmm. which is a little bit different. Now, membership isn't a question in commercial space, is it? I mean, membership is the way the boardroom is organized?
Yes, we're a membership-based model. And I would say what the difference is we're also offering commercial space for folks and shared amenities. But what we do is we're intentional about also offering a very progressive culture and intentional in creating a community and opportunities for them to collaborate and work together. And so that's probably what most defines our differences.
Yeah. Do you find a sense of community in these commercial spaces, similar to what we're talking about here, or is there a different kind of community there?
It's a little bit different kind of community. I mean, certainly what the boardroom has done is brought it together and created a community. Our community, as it were, sort of evolves organically. We're different in that we're more compartmentalized with private offices in different rooms. And so there's a natural progression towards people who have been there a long time, who develop these relationships. But I think that's probably a key difference between what the boardroom has, which is a collaborative space where people get together that can go into a private office, versus ours, where it's private office where people kind of go the other way down to more granular collaborative space.
Yeah. I mean, when I was talking a little bit with Sharon, a little bit with you, I was thinking about how Alaska's the kind of place that a company from outside doesn't just, oh, we're moving up there, we're going to, build a headquarters. They might come first and have a satellite office and check out the scene. And that's kind of how I thought of executive suites, as kind of a satellite opportunity for somebody that's not ready to make this place their place.
Absolutely. We're the toe in the water before they jump in. And I think the boardroom is probably the people who show up to figure out whether they even want to put a toe in the water. And mm-hmm. I think part of that is we offer tenancy on a month-to-month basis. And so that departs from the traditional 1, 2, 3, 5, 10-year lease. And so it really offers a no-risk opportunity for people to establish a presence in Alaska without these long-term commitments or all of the contractual ties that comes with having to get phone, fax, internet, and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you offer, besides those kind of business amenities, do you offer other amenities? Do you offer, I guess you have coffee, that sort of office kind of?
Oh, we do. We really modeled ourselves, and I think you used the term with you, turnkey. And so the idea being that you could walk in with a briefcase and everything else, your phone, your fax, your internet, the receptionist is provided, the coffee, courier service, postage service, everything that you'd need administratively to conduct an office. Mm-hmm. And part of this was modeled after a law office because of our proximity to the courthouse. But it's applicable to corporate offices as well.
Wow, that would be a really different tone. A law office climate versus an open space collaborative. Not that lawyers don't collaborate. I'm sure they do. They have big conference rooms for that. But it feels just really, really different. Although you guys have lawyers in your...
Yeah, we have four attorneys actually on site. And I think that our clientele is looking for, they like the open space, they like the modern vibe, modern feel, they want to be around other young folks. And so I think that it's just we offer a lot of the same amenities as Mike has, but it's just a different audience and a different sort of feel with it.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about your research. I did a little scratching trying to talk to the Department of Labor, not really coming up, and then with much, but you guys obviously were really bright about how you did it. We talked about business licenses. How did you figure out you had a clientele and an audience out there?
Yeah, you know, we spent a lot of time talking to people in Anchorage who have been thinking about co-working for a long time. You're right, it's not a totally new concept. The term was coined in 1999, and it's really been blowing up in the past 10 years. But we kind of looked at a couple different reports that were published, both about economic forecasting, and looked at the job market for the creative class and for personal and business services, professional and business services, and saw that 29% of the Anchorage job market right now is the creative class, and that's our market. You know, we looked at other similar sized cities with similar economies and found that they could support multiple co-working spaces. And we were just behind the curve a bit.
Wow. So actually a little late to the game. But that makes it a good opportunity. So
that's why we love Alaska.
Yeah, we're going to catch up. So I believe you guys opened in about 3 months ago, roughly, what was it, November?
4th.
And I love your story about driving your furniture up. So tell us that story. That's pretty fun.
Yeah. So we.
It's very Alaskan, you know. Do it yourself. Yeah.
We're a bit of the bootstrappers, that's for sure. Yeah. Brent and I flew down to Seattle and spent about a week shopping at. Spent a lot of time at IKEA. Went to some vintage shops. Got a lot of nice Herman Miller pieces in Eames at vintage shops, discounted, and kind of stretched our dollars as best we could to create the kind of modern look that we have. And then we loaded up a 26-foot U-Haul and we drove up the Alcan. It took us about 3.5 days.
Wow. See, now, I bet, Mike, you don't have to do that.
If you need
furniture, you don't drive to Seattle and get it, right?
Typically, no.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, you're part of a bigger, giant... I mean, you're part of Cargotstein, is what you
Correct.
Told us earlier.
Pacific Offset is a Cargotstein company. Yeah. And so, you know, we were able to really... take advantage of the depth of that experience in the real estate industry and kind of build it from the ground up there with, you know, good resources available.
Yeah, yeah. One other thing that bubbled up here before we started was, you know, we talked about turnkey and the importance of the receptionist and everything. And it was really fun when I was over visiting the boardroom. I said, so do you guys answer the phone? I mean, is there a reception? And why don't you jump in and tell us what you discovered? You thought you were going to need that.
Yeah, we'd planned to offer reception services and we offered it to our members and continue to do, but no one's taken us up on it. They all have cell phones. You know, they do a lot of that reception services themselves. One of our members, actually, I think he's a client of yours, Mike, and he's kept his phone service over there because he likes that you guys do a great job.
Yeah.
And so we've offered it, but I think we just have a younger demographic who's used to, you know, working for themselves.
Cell phone in their pocket.
Yeah.
That's
and,
very true. We're the
yeah.
CBS of the office industry, apparently.
Yeah.
But her point's well taken. When we started, you needed three things for an office. You needed a copper phone line, a fixed physical space, and then a copper analog line for your modem and fax. And we were one of the first to take and offer a cable modem and then partition it out and offer LAN services for internet. And, you know, I can take responsibility for converting dozens of people from a dial-up modem into a dedicated line. And so we've constantly had to evolve because you're right. Anymore, you need neither a place necessarily or paper to conduct an office. And
yeah.
So there's a very transient economy, I think, mm-hmm. that's building up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've got history right here. History and then new. I mean, it's just, I mean, now, I don't mean to denigrate it. I mean, I've lived through it. I lived through, you know, lots of changes in the newspaper industry as it went digital, you know. And, I mean, it's just great that we can have you both in the same room and talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about your clientele. We talked about the creative class, the indie worker, and I doubt that's what you're seeing. Although I noticed on your website, Mike, that you do reach out to entrepreneurs. It's almost even a little incubator function there for you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, part of that is to establish this outward presence. And that means I have a local phone number without giving everybody my cell number, a place where I can meet people, a business address, you know, staff that answers the phone. Like I said, on a month-to-month basis. So somebody can really, for just a few hundred dollars a month, of course, have this presence. That to start this business and get a sense of whether they want to or can even continue. A lot of our clientele is corporate, and I think that's where we do see a difference with the boardroom.
Yeah.
You know, we've incubated Verizon, Waste Management, United Health, you know, bigger Fortune 500 companies, as well as the professionals, because they, like us, are sort of, you know, legacy enterprises that
legacy
are used to, you know, the trappings of an office and haven't, you know, gotten to the point where they can go into a more creative, dynamic atmosphere such as the boardroom offers.
You know, if you've just joined us, I just want to tell you what you're listening to. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. And we are talking about co-working and new ways of working. And we have from the boardroom, Catherine Jernstrom and Britt Shimoniak and Mike Thomas from Pacific Office Center. Let's see, I wanted to talk a little bit about the demographics of who's using the boardroom, because actually in my little bit of research that I did, it turns out that nationally they're talking about 20-somethings. And I think you guys are, well, maybe that's not accurate, Britt. You know, maybe there's a little more depth there, nuance there. But you were talking a little bit about a slightly older, not really older, but just maybe not 20-somethings as much as in your clientele. Tell us a little bit about your clientele.
Yeah, most of our clientele they're established freelancers. And I think that the median age in our space right now is probably late 40s. And so we have some folks that are in their 60s working out of there. And then, you know, we have a couple in their 20s. But most people in our space are in their 30s or their 40s. They've been established freelancers for a while now and are looking for Class A premium office space downtown, but also want to be around other people who think like them, work like them. And so traditionally, I think most coworkers are in their 20s and their 30s, but it's definitely, as the trend of co-working grows, I think more and more people are coming on board to it. And so there's definitely an under 45 crowd, I think, that it appeals to.
Yeah. Something you said the other day, I stopped by and visit, you said there are entrepreneurial boomers that are showing up. So people who finished a career and might want the thing they've always wanted to do, now they might have a chance to do it. So you might see some of that too. So, yeah. I wanted to know about parking, because that is an issue downtown. I'm often all day long at the university. Parking is a huge issue there. What about, how do you deal with parking? And both of you, because parking is an issue for you too, Mike, at Pacific Office Center. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so we provide our members with a menu. We want to keep it affordable for all members to join, and so we don't roll parking in. It's the one additional cost that we have. Everything else is included, conference time, print, high-speed internet, all of that. So parking, we give them a menu, and we show them how long it takes to walk from the lot or the garage, and what the address is and what the price is. And then our members choose where they want to park, and we go pick up the permits for them and manage the expiration dates, renew them so that they don't expire, and then we just roll the costs in. So it ranges from $30 to $105, depending on where they want to park. Brett and I park about 3 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And it's $50 a month, and it works really well for us.
Mm-hmm. Was that solution obvious to you, or did you guys kind of work on it for a while as you came up with it?
You know, I think the idea was brought up to us by Anchorage Downtown Partnership. They're pretty keyed into the parking situations downtown and trying to make it easy for downtown businesses to move in. And so one of the things that is can be a potential obstacle downtown is parking. So they were really great about assisting us with that and coming up with options for our members.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some of the amenities that you guys have? Actually, I want to go to Mike. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Give you a chance to talk about parking.
No, that's okay. I mean, the point is well taken. And, you know, we just had a BOMA conference, and downtown parking carries with it a premium for your space. So, you know, a $2.50 per square foot space in Midtown or in downtown, it'd be $2.75 in Midtown. So you've really got this overage that goes with parking. And they're exactly right. That's one of the big things that people now presume, that parking is a problem downtown, and so they don't want to be there. And what we find, it's not just necessarily because the employee doesn't have a place to park or the business owner. It's that they want their clients to have to come down and search for parking. And so you've got to get very creative. We do the same thing that Ben and Catherine do. We secure parking, we pay for it, we pass it along, we validate parking where we can, for instance, the Captain Cook Garage. But You know, I think there needs to be, amongst the Downtown Partnership and maybe Anchorage, a big push for additional parking. You know, we'd be better off, I think, with another garage downtown in that quarter than we would for a bridge, per se, across Kinnick Arm. Because at some point, it's going to start costing downtown businesses, especially with the amount of construction that's going on in Midtown for new commercial space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I get it. I get parking's an issue. I'm all for another garage. But if you want to work downtown in any city in the lower 48, you deal with parking. And that's part of the reason Brent and I wanted to start the Boardroom is we want to raise our families in Anchorage. We want to stay here. But we want other progressive, like-minded, cool people to stay here, you know, and enjoy the space with us. And so we look at, you know, spaces like Seattle where parking is an issue and everyone's paying for parking and you deal with it and you accept it. But you get the really progressive amenities that you would have in a metropolitan area.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's because we have high density with restaurants and shopping and things to walk to and go to.
And so, a buzz and a feeling of being out on the streets and there's people out on the streets. So, yeah, you guys are kind of, I can't think of anything else downtown that is quite like you. I mean, the Starbucks that is down below, that's a draw for people, I'm sure. But I know that you have a different coffee service up in the Boardroom.
Yeah, we serve Kalati's. They're a great community partner. Yeah.
So actually, I mean, talk about, you know, variety right there in the same building. You can get whatever brand you want, right? Let's see. I know when I was down there yesterday was, and I wonder, Mike, if this is ever anything that's come up with you guys, but I had this idea that there's young people here. There's young women that are entrepreneurial. What about having childcare? Is that something you'd even thought about? And of course you had. So tell us about that.
Yeah, and it's not one of the amenities that we offer right now, but Catherine and I have a lot of plans for expansion and ideas for that. And one of those, you know, down the road does include childcare. That's probably more like an Imaginarium or something that, you know, the kids can go do something fun for a couple hours at a time while mom and dad get some work done.
Now, Mike, I bet at Pacific Office Center you have never thought of having childcare. Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, I can honestly say we've never thought about having childcare.
Yeah, so it's just different.
Short of a box of crayons and maybe some DVDs to throw in, but that's really the extent of it, I'm afraid.
But it gets at our amenities. And so some of those are also what sets us apart and what makes co-working different. And so we do have basic office amenities, but we also have a lot of shared space that people work within. And then we have kind of some fun amenities, too. We have really cool community partners, such as Kalati Brothers. They've been great, so they provide that free delicious coffee for our members. We also are partnered with Sleeping Lady Brewery, so we have free growlers, which we have to go pick up, you know, after this radio show to deliver to our members who are anxiously awaiting their afternoon beer.
Yeah.
So I totally think about hijacking that idea.
Yeah, that's good for Alaska if you do. That's just more for everybody, right? Yeah, that was one of the things I noticed in a little bit of research I did, that it's very focused locally, developing relationships with other businesses. And when I went to your Facebook page, which we have a link on Alaska Public to your page, there's a lot of shout outs to people who've been supportive or that you're partnering with. And I don't know whether you even do anything like that, Mike.
We don't really. I said, you know, we're looking, and it's become clear to me, we're looking at different demographics, different...
They're not expecting...
Right, sectors of it. And so, you know, I really love what they're doing at the Boardroom with those things, but it's just never been part of... what we do or what we necessarily need to do.
Yeah, it hasn't been asked for. So, you know, this is a really broad question, but we're, you know, the legislature's in session and there's just so much doom and gloom and we're going to cut the budget and this and that. And there's such an optimism coming out of the Boardroom. And you keep mentioning a progressive environment. And I'd love to hear you talk more about your optimism and more about that progressive environment you're interested in. I mean, flesh it out for us a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, co-working is surrounded by a handful of values. And one of those is productivity and connectedness. And what might take you 2 hours to figure out takes 5 minutes for your neighbor to figure out. And so why not be more productive with your time and work together? We have a half a dozen examples of our members. You know, they need a photographer or they need a web developer. And they know immediately that another member at the Boardroom shares something with them. And that is the values and the desire to work in a space like the Boardroom. And so they hire each other and they work together. And it promotes their businesses and increases their profits. And so, you know, we're here to help entrepreneurs and small businesses grow so that so that they stay here and stay in this economy, and we kind of reverse that brain drain that's been an issue for the last 40 years. And
Right.
And it's also about creating a place that encourages a healthy life-work balance, and then a place where you can love going to work. Like, we want the boardroom to be a place where you love showing up because your friends are there. There's somebody that's going to smile and chat with you. You're going to have a productive work day, but you're also going to have a little bit of fun. And so we do things like offering gym discounts to our members. We try to think about who we can partner with in the community so that they might get a discount at their favorite store. Something that makes their life a little bit better, and it isn't just about their work and getting their job done, but also about improving how they live here and how they play here in this community.
Yeah. I know one of the definitions, I think this was on the co-working wiki that I was just reading people describing their experiences, and one woman said, well, it's hard to get your mind around co-working, but it's like having a gym membership, you know, in that sense. But you don't go and work out there. You just go and work there, you know, and then there you talk to people, and it's just a very social environment, much like it might be at a gym. I mean, you know, different.
Funny you mention that, Kathleen, because we do have a treadmill working desk and a biking working desk, and we offer yoga on Tuesdays as well at lunchtime.
Oh, wow.
So you can work out at the boardroom.
Oh, that's great. Work and workout.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I saw that someone was on the treadmill desk, and have you guys tried it out, and what is it like? Do you like it?
Yeah,
awesome.
I walk for a half an hour every morning, and it's a good way to wake up in the morning, get your heart going.
And you never fall off.
But
you're not speeding up, or you're just kind of walking.
Yeah.
Do you actually work and write while you're there? So you found, but probably something you have to learn how to do. A little bit.
Well, the biking workstation is nice because you can really isolate your hips, and then your upper body isn't moving. And then the walking workstation, you just focus on activities you can do while walking. So probably writing, working on your penmanship wouldn't be an activity you would do.
Maybe returning phone calls.
Yeah, there you go.
But the thing that's neat about that is that was definitely an amenity that Catherine and I wanted to offer. But we offer that because we have a wellness consultant in our space who sells those. And so she said, hey, this is a great place. I can, you know, improve the wellness of the individuals who are working at the boardroom. And I can also demo it for my clients. And so Whitewater Wellness is based out of the boardroom. And, you know, they definitely try to help us with ways that we can infuse wellness into our culture.
So it makes me think, what else are you looking for in your space?
We need a good graphic designer.
I mean, yoga, is that someone who's actually a member and, you know, almost like, is it like a trade out a little bit?
A little bit. It's a way for them to offer their services to our members and then also to our members' networks. And so they get to advertise their service as well. They get to, you know, give back a little bit. A lot of our members are kind of community minded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, offering free yoga is fun, you know, for Heidi, who offers to do that.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, that's so great. I want to remind folks, this is Hometown Alaska. We're talking about co-working and new ways of working, new environments. And, you know, when we threw this up on our web, we just got some discussion going in the community about, well, wait a minute, this isn't a new idea. And yet, so we invited, you know, a long-term commercial space provider here to talk, and that's Mike Thomas. And Mike, it's been really wonderful having you. And we have another half hour. You're not going yet. And I also just want to thank Britt Shimoniak and Catherine Jernstrom, who are here from the boardroom. And we're going to take a little break. We will be right back, and we'll continue to talk about some of those values. And I'm really curious about progressivism, because I don't associate progressivism with Alaska. And I'd love to talk more about that. So, how are you guys doing? All right.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and our show today is about working. We all pretty much have to do it, but there's some different ways of doing it, and we've been talking about that here today. We have guests from the boardroom, Britt Shimoniak and Catherine Jernstrom, and from Pacific Office Center. Yes. Thank you, Mike Thomas. And we've been sort of trying to get at this idea of what is this new idea of co-working. And one of the things, just as we were leaving just before, we were talking about it can be an enriching experience. It's not just a place to go and get your work done. You might end up learning something there. By the way, I want to throw out our phone number if you've got questions about what co-working is or whether your kind of independent work mode would work in this environment. Give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752. Or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So anyway, we were just about at the point of talking about what some of that enrichment might be and what the expectation of your clients are at the boardroom for what they might get. We talked a little bit about yoga. We talked about being able to, you know, stand up and work. It's, you know, a little bit of health and wellness initiative there. But what else is going on there?
So we also host... every third Thursday is a group called AK Entrepreneurs that they've been meeting for about a year and a half, and their home now is at the boardroom. And so it's a space for entrepreneurs, those interested in starting their own business or supporting startups. So a lot of mentors and funders are also engaged in this group. So we engage at the boardroom every third Thursday. We have a program that is around learning from experts, providing information, sector-specific information to entrepreneurs, formalize networking opportunities, meet your co-founder, and then pitch at nights as well. And so that's a great opportunity. It's free for our members, and we encourage them to go. And then we can also bring in folks that aren't members and introduce them to the boardroom and convene as a hub of activity around startups and entrepreneurs in the city.
What sort of classes have you actually had? I mean, is it things like how to put a business plan together, or is it how to do social media? What kinds of things are you talking about?
Sure. Well, this month we are bringing Al Herman, who is a professor over at UAA in the MBA program and undergraduate, and he teaches entrepreneur and business classes. And he's coming to talk with us about a financial model that he uses in his classes. And it's a simple 4-page how to plug in all the variables you need to have to recognize if your plan is going to be sustainable and successful. And it's surprising, you know, how few people go in and try and start businesses and don't understand why they fail. And so it's a 30-minute kind of lecture on how to use that, and then we send everyone home with the tools and then spend some time networking and talking about it. So that's our program this month.
And last month we featured Sam Wasson. He's a Google contractor and a professional photographer, and he talked about some of Google Business's most underutilized tools and really how great they are and how you can start to use them to accelerate your business.
So, you know, Mike, it seems to me you are dealing with more mature professionals that are not looking for training as much as a workspace, whereas in this environment, they're growing their ideas or you know, they're younger and they're new at it. But would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say that's very true. And it's great what they do in so far as development is concerned. We, you know, more collaborate with like the SBA. And so we get them after they've gotten through their classes and have sort of defined the things that they need, both in terms of space and services, and then just ensure that we, you know, provide them with those services and help them, you know, fine tune them to their needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Less proactive, I would say, maybe more reactive, just making sure that mm-hmm. we've got those things available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of, I think actually almost all of our members have been established business owners for several years or have been working for themselves for quite a while.
So they're not total newbies. Yeah.
No, and more like it's about helping them to continue that education and to continue, everybody can definitely work to make their business better. And so it's providing opportunities for that, but then also making sure that we are welcoming to that startup crowd because we do want to encourage new growth, new business growth in Anchorage and also new business ventures. So by offering a space where that is fun and sexy and they can come in and meet other people who are also interested in these entrepreneurship ideas, we're fulfilling basically a goal that we have, which is making Anchorage a place that an innovative person can live and start a business. And, mm-hmm. you know, they can get those things that they might look for in San Francisco or New York City or Seattle. They can capture them right here and be tied into that community.
Now, are you a part of, I know the Anchorage Economic Development Council
Corporation
has that live, work, play. Are you part of that?
Yeah.
Do you sit in on that? And I mean, and what kind of feedback have you gotten in terms of this idea that, wow, maybe I don't have to go to Seattle? Do you hear that?
Yeah, AEDC, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, they've been fantastic, very supportive of the board, and we've definitely gotten a lot of advice from them and worked with them as we've gone through. We are a partner on the Live Work Play initiative, and we also both sit on the Engage Committee, which is aimed at providing young professionals with a space to live, work, and play in Anchorage and making sure that their needs are met and that we're listening to kind of those people who are starting to set their roots down here, deciding to raise families here, making sure that we're growing a community for them that encourages the things that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about, 29% of your audience is creatives in Alaska, and that's who you're aiming at. When I was over visiting you, I was thinking, well, people are going to be working at 3 a.m., do you lock the door at 6? And I learned that you don't. You have different levels of membership that would allow those people to work at 3 a.m. if they want to?
Yeah, we definitely do. Our lowest level of membership is $150 a month, and it gets you access to the space 2 days a week and to all of our amenities. We go up from there, and kind of a medium level of membership includes 24/7 access. So if you are a person who gets your best work done at 3 a.m., you can come in and turn the coffee on and sit down and get some stuff done.
Yeah, so. I noticed you guys had a game room, too. a kind of a decompression room, I guess you might call it, with a comfortable couch in it.
And a Wii and Netflix, and so a good place to turn the light off and relax for a bit if you need to during the day.
Yeah. So what about you? I mean, do people need to decompress where you are? Do you try to do anything like that for your clients?
No, not necessarily. Being downtown, we're within two or three blocks of decompression places, let's call them. It makes it easy. But, we've got... we've got 40 offices, I would say over half of which are satellite offices for national companies. And so it's a different market. It's a different focus.
It really feels like a different market. A vital market, a good one for Alaska, but not the same thing.
Sure. And we've got, 58 virtual clients. And, there again, half of those are national companies who just need a space, services, secure internet, and those things, and some predictability of where they're going to be. And so we don't really nurture companies as much as we caretake. For them when they get there. And so, I would say that would really be one of the key differences. But, the boardroom is sort of a natural evolution of where real estate in general is going. It's interesting when you look at the state. 2 years ago at BOMA, I had the opportunity to listen to some of the senior real estate people, and they said their metric for space per employee was now down to about 150 square feet. And so you saw our state follow suit by taking that even further. But corporately, the goal was 80 square feet an employee. And they recognize that that's not going to be achieved by cubing everybody. They're going to have to make space available that two or three employees share on a time-shifted basis.
Huh.
And so, I look at the boardroom as sort of, we were the evolution of your five-year lease with fixed space into, a single office, and you share, conference room staff services. And now we're down to, you don't even share... have an off, you share that space. I mean, you have a seat, a table, and you share it that way. So real estate's exciting in that regard. This is just the next step, I think.
Yeah.
Where's it going?
We have a caller, and guess who it is? Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Oh, well, I would have loved to have joined you today, but, business before pleasure. So I just called to thank you for the program and to welcome the boardroom into our industry, particularly since I started the executive suite working with co-working and virtual clients in 1982. One person with a new idea was really a hard sell. And then Pacific Office came in to help, and now we have the boardroom. So welcome, boardroom, to our industry.
Well, thank you, Sharon. It is evolutionary, and, we have to adapt and change. So, I guess it takes a village, really, to get it all going, and you were part of that. So thanks a lot, and I appreciated the opportunity to talk to you a little bit before the show based on, sort of putting this information out on the web and you contacting us. So thanks a lot. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Thanks. Let's see, where do we want to go? What have we not talked about? I wanted to talk a little bit more about values because I think to me, that's what's kind of different. As I said before, progressive outlook in a state which is shifting from sort of some ways of really an affluence that was amazing in Alaska, but it's not over, but it's shifting. And I think, people like me are looking to young entrepreneurs and going, I really hope they've got some great ideas. So, you know, your optimism is really refreshing. They're just two smiling faces in here, and they just look like they're going to conquer the world. So, you know, I'm sure that's not always true. Not every day is as sunny as that. But let's talk a little bit about your optimism about entrepreneurism. And, you know, you're making an environment. You're doing what you can to keep these folks here and keep them thinking of ideas. So, I mean, I wonder if the conversations in the boardroom are pretty optimistic, or do everybody get together and talk about politics sometimes? What's it like?
I think there's a lot of synergy going on right now. And, you know, Brent and I, just like Sharon reminded us, certainly cannot take the credit for this spirit that's arising in Anchorage. But there's a lot of times that we sit down with a lot of partners, Alan Johnston and his group at the Entrepreneur and Mentors Network, UAA's Edge Entrepreneur Group, the 49th State Angel Fund, AEDC. There's a lot of players out there talking about entrepreneurship and where it's going in the city. And we are, our goal is to be that physical hub, that space where people can gather, so that we don't have a dozen silos working across the city, across the state on very similar initiatives, and everyone can come sit around the table. And so we're excited to be a part of this energy that's happening. We just had a meeting this morning. We're thrilled to host a startup weekend at the boardroom in July, and that's on the front end of AEDC's Entrepreneur Week as well. So there's lots of activities going around that.
There's a bunch of things happening. I want to throw out now that I know Britt and Catherine are going to be on a panel next Friday. It's part of that Entrepreneurial Edge, which is sponsored by APU, UAA, just so many groups. Team Inc. is part of that. I think even UAS and UAF are involved. Anyway, it's a free opportunity for young entrepreneurs to come to UAA. It's over at UAA in Rasmussen Hall. And you guys are going to be on a panel, and there's a number of people, young entrepreneurs, this group that we're, you know, you're in many ways fostering. Britt's going to be on that panel. Catherine's on the panel. Billy St. Pierre. Do you guys know Billy St. Pierre, the Pita Pit fellow?
That's right.
Yeah. I think on his second one, I might be wrong about that.
He's got two locations open. I think he's working to get a third open.
Yeah. So he'll be on the panel. Kathy Robinson is a name I recognize from the Wheel Good Food mobile gourmet. I've seen them out at, you know, outside of lots of places. So she'll be on that. And I think food is a great place for entrepreneurs to be. I mean, everybody's so interested in food all the time. And then Brooklyn Baggett, who is with Anchorage Community Works, which doesn't remind me exactly of the boardroom, but feels like a place where artists might get together.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned them. Anchorage Community Works is actually, we have a visa program with them. So members of the works can use the boardroom, and our members at the boardroom can utilize space at the works as well. So we've sat down since the beginning and check in monthly, and we've hosted a few events together, and that's our goal, to continue to do that. They have a smaller workspace than we do, but they offer a lot more in terms of screen printing and tinker space and stage space for musical productions
sure.
and things like that.
Sure. And so that discussion, I didn't want to leave the time out. It's February 21, and it's 3:30 to 5:30, I think. And there's going to be a panel talking about entrepreneurship, and then I think there's a networking opportunity and a little reception. So, and parking is always free at UAA on Fridays, so it's not one of those. There's very few classes, so there's lots of parking spaces available, and it's free. So if you've enjoyed listening today, do you guys prepare something for that, or is it just going to be kind of free?
I think it's freeform, a lot of Q&A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're pretty good at shooting from the hip. And also, Wheel Good Food, who's on the panel with us, they're members of the boardroom as well. So Kathy and her husband, Richard, who runs a web development company, and I think he's listening on air right now. So they're
hello.
Wonderful members.
did we cover all the enrichment opportunities? We covered the AK Entrepreneurs. We covered the classes, yoga.
Yeah, we have a lot of programming in the works and some stuff coming down the pike that's a little early to share, but involves a lot more business opportunities and opportunities for people to get some good training to help accelerate their businesses. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we do is we open up our space in the evenings and also on the weekends for different events. And so we support a lot of different professional organizations in town, a lot of young professional development groups, We have political fundraisers there that, you know, the space is available for rental, and so they can come in and bring their networks and crowds. And so a lot of it really is being that hub for different activities that are happening in the Anchorage area.
I asked you yesterday what surprises there were, and also I'm just kind of interested, not in the names of your clients especially, but their occupations. So, you know, give us sort of the rainbow of what's at the boardroom.
Yeah, we've got our four attorneys. We have a defense contractor. She works on unmanned aircraft systems. You know, and then we've got a professional DJ that sits about 10 feet away from her.
We have a photographer, a branding consultant, copywriters, web developers, a couple engineers, nonprofit executives.
A salesman who works on oil field service products. So, he comes in and out of the Anchorage area, needs a space to work from, and happens to be young and wants to be around other young people.
And Mike, in your case, we were talking lawyers because you're associated right next to the court.
Correct.
Some corporate, you said it's mostly corporate and legal.
We do have a lot of corporate insofar as Satellite's office for insurance benefits. We do have a defense contractor, engineering firms. And we're seeing more and more engineering firms, and I think that's sort of the harbinger of things to come. I mean, typically everything starts with engineering as well as financial, planners and more of those professions.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are heavy with engineering and even a medical exam office and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we find, at least from our perspective, that we're, Alaska is a project-oriented type of state. And so people are typically here for 1 or 2 year projects, and a lot of our clientele is here for a year or two as they complete an EIS study or something along those lines. And then the work here is done, so to speak.
Right. So it just seems really, really different. I mean, Sharon emphasized that it was, Midtown executive and executive suites have national and international reputations, where I'm not sure the boardroom is striving for an international reputation. You more want a local reputation. You know, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, we serve, and we have for years, of course, offered the rooms, and we do have organizations that meet. We do have people that use it, and we have a polygraph person that comes in and utilizes
a
room.
Wow, now that's a service you haven't
That's true.
To
we
do
have
polygraph, and that type of thing. But yeah, we're more centric towards, people who need an office on a short-term basis, short-term being defined as a year or less, with this hourly, daily space as an ancillary service.
That's great. So let me think. What else haven't we talked about? Did we really explore? Do you guys, I feel like you're like a progressive think tank over there, and like the new ways of the future, right? new directions for Alaska might pop out of there. Or maybe it's, more just a spirit, just a good spirit that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you talked a little bit about successes, and this kind of goes back to a little bit about what Mike's talking about as well. And, one of the best compliments that Brent and I got on our space was a local architecture firm came through and toured the space, and they came in because they were at a meeting with a client of theirs, and their client said, I want you to make our conference room look like the boardroom.
Wow.
And so they popped in and they came and looked, and this is, well-known and well-respected architecture firm and design house in town. And so that was something that we didn't expect. We put a lot of time and thought into furnishing this space. We have glass desks that people can write all over, and it's fun to see people, calendaring out their social media plan for the week or whatever it is that they're doing every day. And it's something, it was a surprise for us, I think, how well it all fit together. That U-Haul trip coming up, the Alcan, we didn't, it was very uneventful, fortunately.
We're glad to hear that.
And the
we did have an interesting experience at the Canadian border, but we don't have to get into that. So.
Careful when you transport commercial goods across international lines.
Okay, a little tip for new entrepreneurs.
But all we did, the only thing that broke was a bottle of wine in the back of the U-Haul. And so we came up, and every single bit of furniture that we picked out from a dozen different stores, it all fit and it worked. And so that was a surprise for us.
Well, you guys are not architects.
No.
Or interior designers. So it's a pretty good feather in your cap that an architectural firm came by and really liked it. We've got a caller. So let's welcome Jesse on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you.
Well, tell us what's on your mind.
I just wanted to call in and welcome the boardroom to the Anchorage and to Alaska. The co-working movement, something I've had a vision for several years. I saw an article in Entrepreneur Magazine a couple of years ago about the co-working movement. Got excited about it. My wife, not so much right away. So we were on a trip to Europe, and I drug her into a couple of co-working spaces over in Europe, in Prague and Vienna and London, and that really helped when she was able to see it and see what takes place and the collaboration between the members there. So we opened one in Wasilla a couple of years ago. We had a couple of issues with the startup part of it and found out we were pregnant the month that the space opened, and being self-funded, that makes a big impact on resources. So it didn't make it. It was a little ahead of its time, but I'm really excited that the co-working is still alive and well, and that there's a space in Alaska now, and I'm really excited to get to Anchorage and to stop by and check out.
Do you know where the boardroom is?
Down on Fifth Avenue, where it's Starbucks, the KeyBank building, right?
Right, and it's on the second floor.
Yes, second floor.
When I was looking, I was down. I knew I was close, but there's a big black floor index, and I don't think you were on there, but I just asked somebody else. He said, oh, they're on the fourth floor. And so I had accidentally pushed two, and so then he popped his head out and said, no, this is it. This is it right here. He knew all about you, but he just wasn't quite sure what floor. So it's the second floor, so you should come down and visit for sure.
Yeah, I would really like to. And when we launched, we had a lot of feedback. There was a gentleman down on the Kenai that was interested in the concept and that kind of stuff. I had heard some of your numbers as far as the size of the community, being able to support the co-working, and I think you guys are pretty spot on. I think we're just a little small out here in the valley yet, but there's been a lot of growth. There's a lot of entrepreneurs and independent contractors, and I think there's still some potential at some point, but I'm really excited to see co-working in Alaska now.
Jesse, what do you do? Are you an independent worker yourself?
I was at the time. I had my own business. I was doing IT support and consulting for small businesses here in the Valley. I've since ended up closing the working place, was the name of our space, and then Matsu Technical Services. I now work for the school district out here.
So I just want to ask you, as somebody who really wanted that environment, what drew you, just in a sentence or two, what really made you want that?
A lot of what they were talking about, the collaboration, being an independent contractor and being self, you know, a one-man show for the most part. I had some time in clients' offices where I could socialize and that kind of stuff, but working from home, you know, my wife was out of the house, we didn't have any kids yet, so there's a lot of times I was at home alone trying to stay on task and get my work done and get invoices out and that kind of stuff. So having a place that I could go to establish my business and, you know, have clients be able to meet me there and be able to stay on task and not get distracted with mowing the lawn and doing laundry and watching TV.
right. That
was a big draw. And then the other thing, being a small business and wanting that type of facility, how few spaces there were for a small business out here. If you're looking for a space that's, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 square feet, I could find them all day long. But as a small business, just one person, that's excessive, mm-hmm. and all out of the reach financially for most people. So being able to pool resources, have that space shared by several people. We had a couple of different types of contractors that were in there. The conference room was what really did well for us, and we booked all kinds of continuing ed for nurses through the hospital, and we had the borough and different places like that. So,
Wow. Well, thank you, Jesse, so much for calling in. And you have really some shared experience here with these entrepreneurs here. So it's great to hear it, and great to hear from somebody not involved in the boardroom, but who really wants this kind of work style in Alaska. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Feel free to come by for a tour anytime, Jesse. We'd love to have a cup of coffee and chat.
All right. Sounds great. I'll definitely take you up on it. Thank you, guys, and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. I'll throw out our numbers one more time, 550-8433 in Anchorage, or 1-888-353-5752, or an email at hometownatalaskapublic.org. I don't know, I'm just trying to think. We've got about, I don't know, five minutes left. What haven't we covered that we really think is important?
You know, Jesse brought up some good points that I don't think we've talked about, the why people co-work. Mm-hmm. And Jesse brought up his personal experiences of needing to get out of the house and away from obligations. And Britt was a consultant for a bit, and she has some pretty good reasons based around, you know, getting out of the house and staving off loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I worked as a freelance consultant for about a year and a half and, you know, did quite well for myself. I definitely, it was easy to find clients and make sure that I had enough work to do, but you know, I'm in my 20s. I want to spend time with other people. I don't want to sit inside my house and work all alone all day. And going to a coffee shop wasn't super productive and, mm-hmm. you know, didn't always have the most reliable wireless internet. And so it was a little bit of a challenge and I missed working with people. And so I went back into the workforce, but I was always interested in and attracted to that model of going back. And when Catherine and I learned about co-working, I was really excited to be able to offer that sort of a space and a place for other people that I knew were like me, and also for people who might want to work for themselves and work on their own, but don't want to work, you know, out of their third bedroom in their house.
Right. I know whenever I work at home, I mean, mostly I don't work at home, but if I have that opportunity, at the end of the day, I feel really like the air is stale in there and that I might still be in my pajamas. You know, it's just, I mean, I was really into the project, but I mean, day after day, that would just be really hard. You know, I remember hearing a radio interview, I think it was out of San Francisco, where there were these things called jellies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Which was kind of an early precursor of the co-working movement, or do you think it is exactly the same thing?
It's, we describe it as flash co-working. So it's kind of, it's people who get together, they, select a spot and they all kind of go and work independently but together, and it's so that they can be around other freelancers and indie workers at the same time. And so we actually have tried a few jellies out of the boardroom, and that's what turned into our Wednesday nights. And so we wanted to offer a space for people to come in who might not be working, you know, full-time by themselves, but want a few hours in the after, or in the evening, to hammer out that business planner idea.
So I think that was sometimes in people's, you know, you'd invite people over to your place and you could work at your house for a while, and then you'd, you know, just to get that social interaction going, where this is a much more formalized, the co-working movement. I want to ask you guys, did you go around the country and look at some others, or even internationally and look at some others to see, to model yours after?
Yeah, I traveled to New York City and I visited WeWork. They're a huge, huge co-working franchise actually that has, they actually just opened up a large space in Seattle that got a ton of press and was, you know, in the Sunday version of the Seattle Times. And Catherine, you traveled around quite a bit and toured.
Yeah, I had a chance to go over to Amsterdam and check out a co-working space there, and down in Seattle and Minneapolis. And we definitely looked at models that were successful and built our space off of that. So that was very helpful.
Wow. Well, we're just about out of time. So I want to remind folks of the February 21st Entrepreneur Panel that's coming up from 3:30 to 5:30 next Friday over at UAA. Britt and Catherine are going to be on that panel, and several other young entrepreneurs, and maybe even some I don't even know yet. So that might be a really fun place for people to meet and network and have a little bit of a reception. So I want you to keep that in mind. And I guess I'm just at the point of just saying, you know, what do you guys want people to remember about co-working?
Well, I think I want people to remember the boardroom. So please, you know, come down, have a cup of coffee with us, check it out if it seems like a work style that you might be interested in, or if you're looking to be around other progressive thinkers.
Yeah. And Mike, any parting words?
Oh, you know, I would just like to, accent the fact that, you know, we're all a business community.
And, we're all in this together.
You know, this kind of collaboration is what allows us, you know, as Anchorage to serve, you know, people coming in.
And now I have to cut you off, Mike. I just want to thank everybody for a great, great hour talking about co-working. And like to thank Catherine Jernstrom from The Boardroom, Britt Shimoniak from The Boardroom, Mike Thomas of Pacific Office Centers. Next week, Charles Warforth will be your host talking about local capital project requests with the legislature. That should be interesting. Hometown Alaska's on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us at Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. For the last time today, we want to say thank you, Kristen. She's going off to some additional local adventures, and we want to welcome Monica Goki. And I guess I should say thank you for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.